A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. We want you to know, brothers and sisters, of the grace of God that has been given to the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their profound poverty overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For according to their means, I can testify, and beyond their means, spontaneously, they begged us insistently for the favor of taking part in the service to the holy ones, and this not as we expected. But they gave themselves first to the Lord and to us through the will of God, so that we urged Titus that, as he had already begun, he should also complete for you this gracious act also. Now, as you excel in every respect, in faith, discourse, knowledge, and all earnestness, and in the love you have for you, may you excel in this gracious act also. I say this not by way of command, but to test the genuineness of your love by your concern for others. For we know the gracious act of our Lord Jesus Christ, that for your sake he became poor, although he was rich, so that by his poverty you might become rich. The word of the Lord. Praise the Lord, my soul.
Praise the Lord, my soul.
I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God while I live. Blessed he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them. Who keeps faith forever, secures justice for the oppressed, gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets captives free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord raises up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the just. The Lord protects strangers.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "You have heard that it was said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your heavenly Father. For he makes his sun rise on the good and the bad, and causes rain to fall on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what recompense will you have? Do not the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brothers only, what is unusual about that? Do not the pagans do the same? So be perfect, just as your heavenly Father is perfect. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
My dear brothers and sisters, it's good to be with all of you. My name is Father Victor Moratin, priest of the Fathers of Mercy, and I'll be here today and tomorrow. It's good to be with all of you. A couple of the brothers, the men in formation, are with me. I'm in charge of the men who are in formation to the priesthood for my community, so appreciate all of your prayers for them and for myself in this great responsibility. We have this beautiful gospel today. The words of our Lord Jesus Christ strike hard. I remember the first time I heard this gospel, these words, "Be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect," they strike very hard. People of a certain age who play video games from your youth, you know, perfect, okay, to be perfect in a video game is no vulnerabilities, right? You don't get hit if you're playing against an enemy. To be perfect is nothing happens to you. You don't take any injuries, nothing bad happens, okay? And sometimes that idea of being perfect comes to us and it ingrains itself in us in an unhealthy way, right? We talk about perfectionism. And there are various resources for growth, for men in formation, for people to be growing in their spiritual life. And I came across one time an article that was called "The Imperfection of Perfectionism." And sometimes it's hard to think, okay, well, what does it mean then, right? But to look at this perfectionism and how it is not exactly what is rooted in what our Lord has to say to us today. Because underneath a perfectionism, a thought that nothing bad can happen, everything that I do in my life has to be absolutely flawless, okay, there's a little bit of a peculiar pride underneath all of that, okay? It isn't so much a pride that says, I'm better than this other person, or thinking ourselves incredibly great, but it's kind of a little bit twisted. It's, if something bad happens, that might reveal something about me. So it's kind of a fear of humiliation, a fear of what might happen to us, a fear of maybe what others might think if my life is not, you know, at this 100% level or what it might be. And sometimes you see that a little bit in the Gospels, right? I think about Peter, James, and John, those three apostles who were so close to our Lord. Jesus starts telling the apostles about the reality that he's going to go suffer and die. And what do we know Peter says? Lord, this is not going to happen to you. God forbid, right? There's something in the life of Peter that has resistance to this cross, to this fracas of Christ not doing what they think he's going to do to restore the kingdom and to not fail. But Jesus says to him, "Get behind me, Satan. You're thinking as men do and not as how God does." We also see James and John a little bit. Jesus, in his public ministry, was traveling through Samaria, and it says that they did not receive him in the town. And what do James and John propose to our Lord if they see that this thing didn't go the way they wanted? "Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven?" And our Lord says, "No, right? That's not what we're about." Okay. The apostles in these cases are kind of afraid that our Lord's ministry is not going to excel, right? And there are places that our Lord even goes, right, that we hear in the Gospels, that he was not able to do many miracles in certain places, right? So this perfectionism is not exactly what our Lord is talking about. But to look at this word, to be perfect, what does it really mean? Comes from the Latin per facere, to do, and per is to do completely, to do wholly, to do something thoroughly. So to be complete. And so for us, when our Lord says be perfect, he he's talking about being filled with the grace of God. To have a disposition in ourselves that everything that might happen to us, whether we consider it good or bad, might be a way for us to grow in relationship, in trust and humility before our Heavenly Father and His divine providence. And St. Luke, in his Sermon on the Plain, says, "Be merciful as your Heavenly Father is merciful." So there's an element there of compassion, of mercy, which is ultimately God's greatest attribute. In the Holy Mass, we hear the priest during the Eucharistic prayer call for us as members of the church to be brought to the fullness of charity, a fullness of the love of God. And we hear other saints, you know, St. Ignatius of Antioch has this beautiful saying, the glory of God is man fully alive, right? So we see how that's very different from a kind of perfectionism where things can't go wrong or, God forbid, anything bad happens, but rather, everything that the Lord brings to us is an opportunity for us to continue to trust in Him and to be fully children of our Heavenly Father. Now, how do we fight maybe this peculiar pride? How do we fight this little pride of not wanting things to go wrong for us in our life? I think one of the main things we can do is gratitude, to be grateful, to give thanks. You know, we're in this interesting time of ordinary time, right? So we're in green today, but on Sundays, we're still celebrating these high solemnities, right? So we had Pentecost 2 weeks ago, we had Holy Trinity Sunday this past Sunday, and we have Corpus Christi this coming Sunday. Beautiful feasts. But in the meantime, we're in this ordinary time, and you're kind of like, well, what's going on here? What's ordinary time? Often you hear that word, and you're like, that doesn't sound very entertaining. But I love what the Holy Church asks us to do on Trinity Sunday. We're coming to the end of the proper of seasons, right? We started the liturgical year with Advent, the preparation of the birth of our Lord, right? We go through, have a couple of weeks of ordinary time, but then we get into Lent, the preparation for the passion, death, and resurrection of our Lord, and we're celebrating for 50 days this great reality, this great truth, this thing that gives us the wonderful hope of our lives as Christians, that Christ is risen. And after the 50 days, He sends us the Holy Spirit, the great promise that I will not leave you alone. I will send you the Spirit of truth. And when we come to Trinity Sunday, I was talking to the brothers about this yesterday, very often priests are like, oh boy, you know, we have to preach this theology of the Most Holy Trinity, right? And so there's all this pressure. But if you read the prayers of the Mass, if you read and pray the divine office of the Feast of the Holy Trinity, it's really a call of the church to give praise, thanks, and adoration to our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for the wonderful things that He has done for us in redeeming us through the life, birth, death, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the church is calling us to spend time in adoration, praise, and thanksgiving for the great mercy that the Lord has offered to us. So gratitude. It's a big way for us to combat pride in our lives. When we recognize everything that I have comes from our Heavenly Father. And even to give gratitude for maybe those moments when things didn't go the way I wanted them to be. Very often, I work a lot with young men. And again, talking about this perfectionism, it's something that, you know, stirs up in the heart. We're afraid to fail. We're afraid of what might happen. And sometimes we're afraid to take risks because of it. And so we kind of get paralyzed in this inactivity or in this lack of taking courage in things, right, and trusting in the Lord. But I have a couple of examples of some really good friends to our community that really reveal this need to be grateful and to express gratitude. There's a woman who lives close to our community, a couple hours in Kentucky, and she had a restaurant for many years and served the community in providing receptions for us. And the name of the restaurant is very simply Happy House. Happy House. And she lives in a poor community, and 4 or 5 years ago we had tornadoes run through Kentucky, as you know it is in the South, and the Happy House was ultimately destroyed. Okay? And yet, the gratitude in this woman's heart is still there. The choice to give thanks to the Lord for all the blessings that he gave her for so many years is the thing that you see when you meet her. And her trust in the Lord and the Heavenly Father's great providence for her in her life is something that radiates through her love, through her compassion, through the way that she interacts with us and to all those who are around her. And sometimes, even the moments that, like she expresses, right, her restaurant was completely destroyed and still grateful. I work at the seminary, and one time I went with a group of guys on Saturdays to pray at the abortion clinic, okay? And, you know, we always kind of go in fear and trepidation because we go there and we're just praying the rosary quietly. We're not disturbing anybody. And very often somebody will come and start cursing us or whatever it is. And sure enough, one time it was the end of the year. And I remember going and I thought, you know, this year was kind of quiet. We've been going and we haven't really had any difficult experiences this year. Well, right as we were ending the rosary and we were heading back to the vehicle, this guy comes and he calls us every name in the book. And it was startling. I was kind of like in shock. And I remember thinking, wow, he really did a great job at cursing us out. Really did a great job. Every name, every word, everything. And most of us were sitting there with our eyes and paralyzed. And the leader of the group, right, it's a beautiful thing, without batting an eye, said, God bless you, man. I'm going to be praying for you. It was a beautiful thing, right? He didn't allow this moment of difficulty, this moment of, oh, no, to not allow him to display the mercy of the Heavenly Father for him, right? And that's what we see in the gospel today. Jesus says, bless those who curse you. It's a beautiful thing. Because ultimately, we are God's children. And if we are the Lord's children, we have to be like him, right? The disciples' great goal is to be like his master. So brothers and sisters, on this day, where we're hearing these strong words of our Lord calling us to this perfection of the Christian life, not a life without faults, but rather a life completely full of the Lord's grace and gratitude, recognizing everything that the Lord allows to happen to me in my life is an opportunity for me to grow in trust in his divine providence. And so we thank him and praise him. May our Lord's infinite mercy and love shown to us help us to be like him, to show mercy to those even who hate us, who curse us, that this identity that is in the root of our hearts, right, the most profound thing of our lives as Christians is that we are children of the beloved of the Heavenly Father. We are beloved children. May that reality allow others to come to know, to be friends, and also to become children of our Heavenly Father through that perfection, that mercy, that fullness of charity that flows from our hearts. God bless you all.